Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, the cost of Christmas. Now, I'm not talking about just financial cost, though that's part of it. What do you believe? What is your opinion? What is your position on where the major cost ought to be focused for Christmas? Should it be on gifts, buying stuff, that stuff will fill the garages and closets until you have to sell the stuff in a garage sale in order to have a place for your car? What should our focus be for Christmas? We're talking about the cost of Christmas. What is the real cost of the first Christmas? When you study the scripture in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, when you study that and find out what the scripture says about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call it the arrival of Christmas. You see in chapter 1 of Luke the announcement of Christmas. You see in chapter 2 the arrival of Christmas and the first Christmas. So when Christ first came, let me repeat a portion of what I said earlier. When Jesus Christ left heaven's glory and came to earth's gloom, he did not give up or surrender his prerogatives of power and authority. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth, according to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. All power is the Lord Jesus Christ, not some power, not partial power, not occasional power. Some say that Jesus Christ gave up his prerogatives, that he was no longer omniscient, he was no longer omnipotent, he was no longer omnipresent, but Jesus Christ, even in his humanity, was omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, knowing all things. So let me remind you, when we think about the cost of Christmas, what are the costs? What did it cost Mary, Joseph, Jesus, the wise man? So let's first of all look at what the cost of Christmas for the mother. What was the cost of Christmas? The cost of Christmas to the mother, that's Mary we're talking about. First of all, let me just tell us that we need to see the cost with her publicity at her conception, the publicity of her conception. In fact, when you look at Luke's gospel, the first chapter, verse 26 and following, you find an amazing story there that most are not aware of the full depth of it. In the 26th verse of chapter 1, and in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, Parthenos, a young maiden never having had sexual relationship, a young virgin espoused, that is, betrothed to, engaged to, we'd call it today, engaged to, betrothed to, a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And then the angel tells Mary, because she was in consternation, verse 29 says, she was heard that saying, she was troubled. That means she was agitated. She was completely confused at the saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. And then the angel Gabriel tells Mary who Jesus is, what Jesus will have, Jesus' prerogatives and power and authority, etc., etc. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And then in the 35th verse of chapter 1, it tells very clearly that it's the work of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is going to be born through the womb of a virgin. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, historians tell us, and I don't know for sure how they come to the conclusion, but Mary was probably somewhere between 13 and 18 years old. So when picture now, listen very carefully, we're talking about the cost to the mother, Mary. What was the cost of the first Christmas to Mary? The publicity of her conception. It is very, very clear that the scripture gives us the indication, the information here, that Mary was unmarried, that Mary was betrothed, engaged to Joseph, but yet Mary was found to be with child. No wonder she was confused. No wonder there was consternation. She knew that there was no immorality to take place in her life. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, in that culture, in that day, in that custom, if one were to be found with child that is not married, there would be public stoning, would be the order of the day. So hear me. Hear me well. Listen very carefully. Public stoning for the unwed pregnancy. Joseph was also anxious and concerned, Matthew 1, verses 18 through 21. He thought that he would be better off if he would just put her away privately. That is to give her a bill of divorcement privately. In the culture, in the setting, the context of that era, if that were to take place, the bill of divorcement would be required. That's how permanent, that's how solid a betrothal period of time was in the custom of the era of the Jewish people of that day. And so Joseph was trying to decide, what should I do? Because he knew that if it became public knowledge, that she would be stoned to death. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and told him not to fear. That which is taking place with Mary is of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is involved. And comforted Joseph. Joseph, while Mary was anxious and having anxiety when the angel told her what was happening, Joseph, in a dream, the angel told him, because of his anxiety and his anxiousness, not to be anxious, not to be worried, do not put Mary away, because what is taking place is of the Holy Spirit. But ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine the publicity of Mary's conception? The friends wagging their tongues? Can you imagine that little town of Nazareth, where Mary was known by most of the families in the community? Where Mary was known to be a young lady, and all of a sudden she's expecting. Can you imagine the city people, the mothers of that era, mocked her, made fun of her, ridiculed her? Can you imagine the embarrassment that Mary suffered as a result of carrying baby Jesus? If it had been in the era of today, the 21st century, there'd been most of those, even as Christian parents, that would have said, let's get an abortion. Let's kill that child in the womb. Because after all, it wasn't planned. After all, we do not want to be embarrassed. After all, we do not want to be ridiculed. This is the reason today somewhere between 63 and 70 million babies have been murdered in the mother's womb because we do not recognize the value of life. Here's Mary. We're talking about the cost of the first Christmas, the publicity of her conception, and secondly, the perplexity of his coming. The perplexity of his coming. Luke's gospel, the second chapter, is very, very clear in what the scripture says there. The second chapter, verses 6 and 7, in Luke's gospel says this. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, that's cast-offs, leftovers, rags, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So think about this, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the cost of Christmas. What did it cost Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, was the cost of the publicity of her conception. Secondly, the perplexity of his coming. Verses 15 through 20 of Luke's gospel, the second chapter, paints the picture pretty well. The scripture says, because you know, the announcement came to the shepherds watching their flocks by night. And the scripture says then in verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered, that was in amazement, and at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19 is the key where I want to go. But it's a contrast, different direction. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the cost of the first Christmas, the cost of the first Advent. We're celebrating Christmas season now because of the first Christmas with the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And ladies and gentlemen, the publicity of her conception was a major cost for Mary. And secondly, the perplexity of his coming. Keep in mind in this text that I just read for us, Mary pondered all of these things. Now, that's a fascinating study. What does the word ponder mean? Pondered all these things and kept them in her heart. All of what things? Have you ever asked that question? Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. These things, what things? The shepherds coming in haste. The shepherds' interest. What was told to them by the announcing angel, which had to have been Gabriel. Gabriel is the announcing angel. Gabriel is the one that announced to Mary. Gabriel is the one that spoke to Joseph in a great dream. Gabriel is more than likely the one that here is in this text where they make the announcement to the shepherds. But ladies and gentlemen, the perplexity of his coming, it kept all of these things in her heart. Mary didn't understand having to travel some 80 miles, some say 100 miles, I think it was 80 miles when you look at biblical geography, having traveled about 80 miles on a donkey's back, being 9 months pregnant. She didn't understand there was no room for them in the inn. She didn't understand the fact that they got to Bethlehem and there was not a place, that there was no recognition, there was no reception of the Lord Jesus Christ, and had to stay in a stable and be born in a stable rather than in a place that others would call comfort. However, that was not the case. That would have been a public shame for Mary to be publicly giving birth, and that's the kind of inn they had in that day. We talked about that earlier. But can you imagine riding on a donkey's back some 80 miles with Joseph holding the reins, walking that 80 miles on the craggy hillsides, getting from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Understand the shepherds coming as they came. She didn't understand that. She was perplexed by it. She was just taking it all in. It's called Christmas memories, ladies and gentlemen. Can you recall Christmases past? Can you recall the celebration of Christmas with all the family together? Can you recall the joy in that celebration and sharing gifts, giving gifts, and receiving gifts one from another? Can you recall that? That's building a memory legacy for your family. How do you celebrate it? Do you understand the cost of Christmas in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Mary didn't understand it. She didn't understand having to travel that distance. She didn't understand no room in the inn. She did not understand the shepherds coming to see Jesus. She just pondered them. That means to meditate on them, roll them over in the mind, all of these events, and kept these precious memories in her heart. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say once again in a little different fashion, one of the best things I think that we can look forward to Christmas season is building the precious memories. Memories that will linger forever with us. Of family. Of who Jesus is. Of what Christmas is about. And what ought to be the real focus point of the celebration of Christmas. Not the sightseeing, the shops, the shopping, and the getting around a town, what should take 5 minutes, take an hour to hour and a half to travel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the cost of Christmas. The cost to Mary, the mother. We see the publicity of her conception. We see the perplexity of his coming. We see also the pain of his cross. The pain of his cross. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Love to have you jump in with the dialogue and discussion. What do you see? What are some of the precious memories of Christmas, and what are you doing to build memories for this Christmas, for each Christmas season, to be part of your family legacy and heritage of remembering and carrying out that legacy of remembering, talking about, and representing, letting Jesus Christ be represented in your home and in your family? What kind of memories are you building? The pain of his cross. Time won't allow us to go and read Matthew chapter 27, verses 5 and following, or 55 and 56, that is. Time won't allow us to go to John's Gospel 19, verses 17 through 28, but let me just simply give you the summary narrative of it. The scripture tells us that Jesus' mother Mary, listen carefully, that Jesus' mother Mary watched as her son was crucified. She watched as her son, Jesus Christ, was buried. She watched and knew where the burial tomb was. This is the reason on Easter Sunday morning, she and the other women went to the tomb and found the tomb open. But the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, the cost. Can you imagine as a mother? Can you imagine as Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the human bearer of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ? The human component was Mary that provided the flesh for that child, Jesus. God the Father, the blood in the veins of Jesus Christ was precious blood, holy blood. It is blood that can be the propitiation, the covering for the sin of the whole world. But can you imagine standing at the foot of the cross and watching the vile, filthy mouth men, the soldiers, as they're cursing, as they're berating Jesus? Can you imagine watching and listening and being anguished and yet helpless? Can you imagine the pain of Mary hearing all the vile, evil, wicked things being said about Jesus? Can you imagine Mary's pain in witnessing Jesus being beaten and berated and spat upon and bruised? As Isaiah 53 says, for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Can you imagine watching as the nails went into his hands and his feet? That's the pain, ladies and gentlemen, of the cross. And that's the pain of the cross that Mary suffered. And that's part of the cost of Christmas. Mary endured that. She endured the laughter, the mockery of bearing the child, Jesus Christ. She endured that. That was part of the cost of Christmas. Had it not been for that, we'd have no Christmas today. Had Jesus Christ not come to begin with, if he had not been born, if he had never come into the world, we'd not have the celebration of Christmas. We'd not have the rejoicing. We'd not have the redemption. We'd not have the reconciliation that we have today of reconciling man back to God. Because Jesus Christ came, we have that today. And I don't know if you've given consideration. What if that had never happened? What if Jesus Christ had never come into the world? What if Mary had never suffered that cost? What if Jesus Christ had never been born? Where would we be today? There'd be no church. There'd be no Christmas. There would be no celebration. There would be no coming again of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what Mary suffered, what it cost her, that we could have the celebration of Christmas today. Not only the cost of Mary, the mother, but the cost of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the cost of Christmas? And listen, you need to knit this together. You need to understand what I'm saying. When Jesus Christ came into this world, he left heaven's glory for earth's gloom. When Jesus Christ came into this world, it's the God-man, 100% God and 100% man. He came into form, the morphe, the shell, the outward appearance of man. He had all of the attributes of man, and yet he still maintained all of the attributes, all of the prerogatives, all of the power of divinity of God. It is called the indissoluble welding together of deity and of humanity. It is the God-man, 100% God and 100% man. But can you imagine the pain of suffering? Isaiah 53 tells us about it. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6, prophesied just what he would suffer, just what would take place in his first coming. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas today, this season must be viewed from the cost of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the anguish of Jesus going through with 6 illegal trials, all of them at night? It was actually 3 trials, and each trial had 2 parts. When you go through and read all of the scripture in relationship to Jesus' trials, you find there were 6 false, phony, fake trials that was being carried out to be able to crucify the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine? By the way, you find that in Matthew 27, verse 27 and following. You find that in John chapter 19, verse 17 and following. Can you imagine not only the anguish of 6 illegal trials, all of them being a night, but also the agony of being stripped, being beaten, berated, and bruised as a result of being betrayed by one of his own disciples? He was mocked and reviled and ridiculed and crucified. part of the cost of the first Christmas was seeing the pain and agony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he hung there on Calvary's cross with his outstretched arm saying, "Tetelestai, it is finished. It is finished. Salvation is complete." Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I want us to understand we need to rejoice in the realization and the recognition the cost of the first Christmas, the cost of Jesus Christ coming, the cost of the agony and the anxiety of Joseph and being in wonderment and amazement, the cost of the wise men, the gold and frankincense and myrrh, the travel of about 2 years following the star, according to Numbers chapter 24, verse 17 and following. They knew what to recognize and look for as astronomers. They knew, not astrology now, but astronomers. They knew what to look for, and they were following the star that was the prophecy that was given to them, and they were following the star to find the location of Jesus. Can you imagine the cost of the Magi? That's the wise men. Can you imagine the cost of Mary? Can you imagine the cost of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ? The pain, not only of the Lord Jesus, the pain of suffering, but the pain of separation, the pain of separation. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew 27, verse 45 and 46 says that Jesus screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For the first time in eternity past and in eternity present and for eternity future, for the first time, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Son, are separated. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because, ladies and gentlemen, on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ became our sin substitute. On Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ became your sin and my sin. The sins of past, present, and future, the sins of the whole world were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And because God is pure, because God is perfect, God cannot look upon sin. So in that nanosecond, God the Father had to turn his eyes, deflect his eyes from God the Son, because on the cross, God the Son, Jesus Christ, became sin for the entire world. That's the cost of Christmas. That's what Jesus paid, that he paid it all, that we might have sins forgiveness. I believe we have Tom on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I'm driving my big truck back from Fernandina and to Jacksonville, and I'm listening to you, and you're not stuttering or sputtering. I don't hear any pages turning to where you're reading a canned script. You've spent thousands of hours that you may give your listeners peace and hope.
Amen. Amen.
And I'd like to thank you for that at this time of the year, that I have hope and peace. And I sure want to thank you for your big part in that. And I hope all the other listeners appreciate what you've done for us.
Well, brother, it's my joy. I'm humbled by your statement. I'm thankful for it. It's my joy to study the Word. I have invested most of my lifetime in the study of the Word of God. And even as I study and reflect back on what I have learned in the study, I realize that I could invest 200 lifetimes, if that were possible, 200 lifetimes, not 200 years, but 200 lifetimes in the study of the Word, and never scratch the surface on the breadth and the depth of the treasures that God has for us in His Word. It's always my joy to do so. And it's my prayer each and every day before the broadcast that what is said will impact lives for eternity. What is said will cause people to understand what we need to do as Christians today.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I have two Jewish friends that I'm witnessing to. And it's really sad, but they're Jewish. They have the scripture, but they've never read them. They're leaning on their own understanding for salvation. And by listening to you, you've read the scriptures. And I just think how tragic that their lives, they've never read their own scriptures.
Yes,
that is sad.
One of the things, Tom, that I have advocated, and I've had the privilege of doing this down through the years on a number of occasions, when you're dealing with a Jewish individual, many of them are offended. If you talk about the New Testament, you talk about Jesus. Turn to Isaiah 53, stand there with your Bible open, and ask them to look at the words and read them for you. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, etc., etc. Their personal pronouns are there. He, him, asked them, who is this speaking of? Many of the Jewish rabbis will say it's speaking of Israel. Israel, any nation, has always been referred to in the feminine, not the masculine. Masculine is found in Isaiah 53. It is speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will be 750 years after what you find in Isaiah 53. It's a 750-year prophecy of the pre-coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in his first advent, his first coming. So ask them. I had a Jewish man on one occasion that I got to read that standing on his front porch, and he said, I have never seen that. I have never read that. He said, I will ask my rabbi. And I said, when you ask your rabbi, he's going to tell you it's speaking of Israel, but no place in the scripture, no place in grammar do you find any nation being spoken of as a he or him, and as you find in Isaiah 53. That's a wonderful tool to use in reaching a Jewish person with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Dr. Youngblood, I have a question. Isaiah 53, I've read it so many times, it really is a job description for the Messiah.
Yes.
And who would want to pick up, who would want to take a job that you're going to be beaten, you're going to be ridiculed, you're going to be stabbed in the side? Only a fool or somebody who had immense faith would take that on. And the only reason you know it and I know it is we've read the scripture. Well, surely Jews, we know they read it. Do you think that Mary also knew that to be the Messiah's mother, you had to go through exactly what you're describing? You had to go through shame, pain, ridicule. You had to go through all of that because the Messiah couldn't go through. It had to be a virgin because of the last king of Israel was so sinful that the Messiah couldn't come through him. So it had to be a virgin. Do you think there's a chance that Mary also knew that job description?
She did not know the job description that was cast upon her. That's the reason the scripture says that she was anxious about those things. How can this thing be when I know not a man? She had grave concerns, anxiety, and perplexity, but she accepted it. The latter portion of that chapter, you'll find verse 36, 37, 38. She received it as coming from the Lord and praised him for it. By the time, our time is gone for today, but thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.